Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started. And this is Ashlyn Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 213. I'm going to call this the Patrick Henry Half Marathon Race Report Plus additional information plus major announcement at the end of the podcast. Yeah, pretty major for me. Very excited about my announcement. So I will save that for the end. That way you'll stick around and listen to the show, or you can just fast forward to the end if you want, hear the major announcement. So yeah, it's the week of September 7th, Labor Day weekend 2015. And I'm coming at you from Ashland, Virginia, the center of the universe, Central Virginia. This is Ashland Dave, and I'm an ordinary, middle-of-the-pack nobody. And the reason I say that is because I have no exceptional ability at all, although I do like to put one foot in front of the other for as long as possible. And I'm starting to make my way back to that. I got several things in my stack of stuff here to go over for this week's show. We're going to talk a little bit about the Spartan race that we saw some of up at Wintergreen Mountain in Roseland, Virginia, Nelson County, a couple weeks ago. Talk about the Patrick Henry Half, some of my running buddies that I ran into there. Talk a little bit about heading to the Center of the Universe Brewery after that race with Dr. Smitty visiting here in town. And, of course, talk about the email bag, then get to the major announcement at the end of the show. So make sure you stick around for that. I'd like to thank you for downloading the show. Appreciate you coming back. If you're a repeat listener, if you're a new listener, I've been getting out pretty much one show a month for the last several months. I'd like to change that to two a month. And the reason for that is because I'm going to be doing more running, and I'll have more fodder for the podcast, that's for sure. Definitely got some for this week. And what I do usually is I hit on a few topics. Go to the email bag section of the show, which you can always email me at ashlandave@gmail.com. That's ashlanddave @gmail.com. And I'll get back to you. I don't always answer emails right away. I always read them, and then I'll think about them, and then I'll email back within a couple days. Sometimes I don't get quite to the email. I just have this aversion to electronic devices, it seems now. So maybe that's part of the problem why I can't get a podcast out more than once a month. But my goal is to get it back to two a month. And if you've been a regular listener to the show, you know I didn't get to episode 213 by doing one a month, because that would have been years and years. Although I think I did start the show back in 2008. So let's talk a little bit about what went on since the last show. Several weeks ago, back on, I don't really remember what day it was, but our family, we went on a hike. And all right, didn't I tell you to be quiet for a while? All right, come in here and let's talk about the rattlesnake. All right, we got a guest. We have a guest here. This is my daughter, my 14-year-old daughter, getting ready to start high school. And we saw a snake, a rattlesnake, on our hiking trip a couple weeks ago. This was the week before Wintergreen. Remember, we went on the other hike. We hiked Mount Pleasant, which is in George Washington National Forest. And we saw a timber rattler snake, and this is my daughter here. You want to tell a story?
So we were hiking. We were at the top of the mountain, and then we were getting ready to go back down. And my dad and our dog Blue were ahead of us, and then just out of the blue, they heard this shh, and it sounded like a bunch of cicadas at once. But, and then I just heard, oh, it's a snake. Oh, it's a rattlesnake.
Who said that?
And my dad said that, because obviously dogs can't talk.
That'd be me, right.
And then, and it was scary, because on our way up, we had gone up that way, and I was ahead with the dog, and we were, and then on our way back, we were just thinking, what if we encountered that rattlesnake on the way up to the top of the mountain? So my dad said, give me the walking stick. I'll take the walking stick, and I'll go ahead of everybody, make sure we don't encounter any other snakes. So he found some different route that got us back on the main path eventually, away from the snake, and basically...
Well, tell all the listeners of the podcast what Mama did. You don't remember what Mama did? Did she get scared?
Oh, yes, and my mom, she totally freaked out.
I think we all kind of did.
Oh my gosh!
All right, I think we all did. That was pretty scary. And
that was really scary.
Tried to take a picture of it, but I didn't want to get really close. It was coiled up along just inches off the main hiking path. And it was the rattle was really loud, very distinctive. And I saw it, and there was it was a large snake. It appeared to be large. No doubt about what it was. And I guess when we got home, we looked up some information on rattlesnakes and found out that in Virginia there's one called the timber rattler. And we looked at the markings, and that was the one that we saw. And then I think the biggest takeaway from learning about the snake was the whole reason it rattles is to warn you to get away from it.
And then it does, and then it bobs his head against you if you don't listen to
the rattle.
Then it does a knock with its head, saying that, oh yes, I'm getting really agitated. You gotta get away because I'm gonna totally bite you.
Right. So it was a false sense of security for the most part hiking up the mountain. I guess it was a couple miles. It was about 4,000 feet. So we were up for Virginia. That's pretty high, pretty good in the Blue Ridge Mountains. It was a gorgeous view. We got to the top. Ate lunch, making our way down. Of course, the snake is right next to the path, so it kind of makes you wonder where it was when we were hiking up. But it was pretty scary because we just kind of took our security for granted. Here I am looking around for bears everywhere, and then it's a rattlesnake that kind of done us in. And of course, the whole way down the mountain, we're thinking all these scenarios. What if we'd gotten bitten? What if the dog had gotten bitten? You know, can we get back to the car in time to get help? And all these scenarios went through our mind, but it was a lot of fun. It was a gorgeous hike, and just something for us to remember the next time that they're, you know, the snakes are out there. That's their habitat. And nature worked. You know, the rattler warned us. We got away. You got something else to add?
And you should remember to look out for snakes, too.
Okay, that's good. All right, go back to your puzzle. Thank you. All right. Okay, so let's talk about the Spartan Race. And if you've never heard of what the Spartan Race is, I'll let you know it's an obstacle race, and I'm not really one that does obstacle races. For my challenge, I look to the ultra marathon distance and the marathon distance. But these are generally 8 to 10 miles. There's 24 to 29 obstacles, and we went up to Wintergreen Mountain. This was after the hike to Mount Pleasant. We did another trip up in the mountains a couple weeks later, and this would have been August 22nd. And they were having a Spartan race up there. I wasn't aware that they were doing an event up there. And they do, you know, it's in the mountains on the ski slopes. So Wintergreen Resort is a ski resort in Virginia. And they have some natural snow up there in the winter, and they end up making a lot of it. You know, but because it's so high up in the mountains for Virginia, you know, in the winter it's cold enough, they do get natural snow. But this was a perfect venue for this Spartan race. And I got to say, I'm not going to knock the race. I'm just not into the obstacle race, and but I watched this particular one last year on TV, and I was pretty impressed with the athletes, and they got to carry logs and sandbags and gravel and do all this crazy, climb ropes and jump over burning debris and all kinds of stuff, climb poles and you know, do all these obstacles, and it's pretty impressive. But what I was out on the morning of August 22nd, I was out on an 8-miler training run up at the resort, and everything up there is hills. So, you know, half my run was probably, power walking up hills. And again, you're up some altitude, not a whole lot, not where the air is getting any thin or anything, you know, and you're huffing and puffing. But I did an 8-miler, and I've kind of carved out a route there before, because I've been up that way before and done some long runs. Well, the shuttle, the way it worked for the Spartan race is that most of the people participating parked at the bottom of the mountain and then took charter buses up to the top. Or you could pay an extra $40 and drive up the mountain and park in the VIP parking where you paid $40 extra. And that's like the public parking for people to go up there to ski. Or, you know, if you have a condo or a house up there, you could stay there. And there's a shuttle bus that runs around through all the residential areas up there at the top of the mountain. And then so there's people out there waiting for the shuttle. And a lot of these folks are all dressed the same. They got this, the compression spandex, the sleeveless shirt, the compression socks. It's kind of almost like a uniform. It very similar. People are dressed very similar. And I thought that is kind of this Spartan race is kind of carved out kind of a brand for itself, which I think is kind of neat. I'm just not into the obstacles. Just not something, I don't know. I wanted to watch it. So we had gone down to the farmer's market down at the bottom of the mountain after my run and came back up and we were trying to see if we could watch. And it turns out it was $20 to be a spectator. And I just thought that was kind of weird. Here I wanted to learn more about it and watch, but you had to pay $20 just to go be a spectator. So I wasn't really interested in that too much. And so we ended up just going back up. And then I was going to grill out that evening at this condo where we were staying, and I was taking the grill cover off, and it turns out there was a mouse nest in there. And so we kind of lost our appetite for using the grill because I couldn't get the mice out. The little mama mouse had babies, and trying to do the best we could not to kill the rest of them. It was just an awful thing, and it made me feel really bad. Normally, I'm not I don't have a bleeding heart for this kind of stuff, but, here they were just minding their own business, and I'm the one that kind of messed up their little nest, and I didn't mean to, but I felt kind of bad about disrupting the whole thing, and I certainly wasn't going to use the grill after that because I think one of the little babies might have been stuck up in the grill, so we weren't going to do that. And then the next day, we got up and went for a hike up around the resort, which was a really cool hike. We went to a waterfall, and I liked that a whole lot, and it kind of seemed like the whole thing was uphill, but it wasn't. But, boy, it was tough, and I was a little surprised on how I felt after the following morning after doing the 8 mile of the day before. But overall, a great weekend up in the mountains, and got my first exposure to some of the people that run the Spartan race. I was just a little disappointed we couldn't go watch. So let me talk about the Patrick Henry Half Marathon. The Patrick Henry Half Marathon, for those who have never heard of it, which is probably most of the listeners, if you've heard me talk about it before, it's an annual event here. Starts and finishes here in Ashland, Virginia, approximately a half mile from my house. So you can't beat walking to the starting line and then being able to walk home when you're done. And this was the ninth year of the race. But my eighth year running it. The only year I missed was 2013, and the reason for that was I was on call for work, so I couldn't afford to, get that far away during. I would never sign up for a race when I'm on call anyway; it'd just be a waste of money. But I did work a water stop that year for the whole race. So instead of saying I've run this race every year, I say I've participated every year. I've been at it every year, been a part of it every year. It's a great event. It's named after Patrick Henry, who's a son of Liberty, born here in Hanover County. And if you're a foreigner or from some other part of the country and you just don't know who Patrick Henry is, he's the one that pretty much ignited the Avenue of Liberty back at the Continental. Which was it? What was it? The Continental Congress, the Constitutional Convention at St. John's. Do you remember what it was? Gosh, I can't even remember myself. It was the Constitutional Convention, and he's the one that did the speech. Give me liberty or give me death. It was they still do a reenactment at St. John's Church down in Richmond, and it was actually the Second Virginia Convention that met March 20th, 1775 in Richmond. I don't know why I was thinking of the Constitution. We weren't there yet because it couldn't have been because we weren't even free yet. So it was the Virginia Convention that met, and I can't believe I didn't know that. That's what happens when you try to do public math, which is essentially what that was, public history. Can't do public history, but you can't do public math. So anyway, I looked it up. But anyway, it's named after him because he's a son of Hanover. And he's actually lived here in Hanover at a place called Scotchtown when he was the governor of Virginia so many years ago. So the race is named after him. It originated as the Battlefield Half Marathon over in Verona, Virginia, just which is way west of here, in east of here. And then that venue got to be too small for the demand of people that wanted to run this half marathon at this time of year, because it's the perfect. That's really where your mileage is at if you're going to be for training. If you're going to be doing a fall marathon, you're pretty much at the half marathon mark at the end of August, and that's why it's so popular. And it had 1,107 runners, which is a pretty good size race for this area. We had, of course, Dr. Smitty came up from Chesapeake for that, and we got a chance to visit. We went out to dinner Friday night to Iron Horse. He came with his wife, so we met up with them and had a nice dinner right there on the railroad tracks, and a couple trains came through, which was kind of to be sitting so close to moving trains is kind of neat, because Ashland's a railroad town, and we embrace the train. It's not a source of annoyance or anything. Also ran with Ashland Bob, Ashland Tom, Ashland Brian. Started with them, and Dr. Smitty went on to run an incredible 1:43, which is awesome. He came in 155th place, which was outstanding compared to my coming in 901st place out of 1,107 people. So I wasn't last. I wasn't a dead freaking last. I was close to last. Did not come in last in my age group, although I was close to last. And the main reason my performance was so dismal, I ran 2 hours 25 minutes, is that I was not at that distance yet. And I had only done one double digit run before that, and that was the last podcast celebrating that, because it had been a while since I've gotten to that. And then I did the 8 miler, and I was doing the kind of this weekend warrior stuff, which was just ridiculous, and I'm almost embarrassed to talk about it, but I was really just doing my running on the weekend, because my job had just gotten to a point where I was coming home, and I was just lacking the motivation, lacking the interest in running or getting a workout in after work. And the humidity was killing me. I had all these excuses and even, made up some new ones. But on Saturday mornings, I still desired to get out there and go running. And, you may ask, well, why don't you just get up early and run during the week? Well, I get this thing about, getting up and running and then having to be somewhere, within an hour after I get home. It's just hard for me to do that. And I have to figure out another way. And I end up solving that problem, I think, which is part of my big announcement at the end of the show. So ran with Ashland Bob, Tom, and Brian for well over half the race. And then what happened to me? I think I took a bathroom break or did something. We got split up. I ended up running by myself. But then hooked up with Tana and Laura, who are running together, friends of my wife. And ran with them for a while. And then there was another person I ran into. Jenny, another girl that we know here in town, and then pretty much stayed by myself. But I did run into a guy that I saw many, many years ago, met for the first time, and had seen him at some other stuff that were in the Richmond area. His name's Scott, and I remembered his name for whatever reason, not sure why. But when I ran the Shamrock Marathon, I think it was 2009 or 2010, it might have been 2010, we saw this guy that had written on the back of his shirt, it sounded like a good idea at the time. And I knew he was referring to, signing up and registering for a marathon. And it turns out he was from the Richmond area, and I've seen him around a little bit. But he came out, was running that, and I remembered his name, and I didn't remember his name until after I started talking to him for a minute. But we got up to him. When we got up to him, I just said, it sounded like a good idea at the time. And he turned around, and he's like, hey, man. I said, yeah. I said, aren't you Scott? So, yeah, we just kind of caught up a little bit, and he's been having some trouble running and stuff, but he's trying to get back into it. So it was a good race. I really had a good time. The winner, Jimmy Picard, age 30, of Richmond, and ran it an hour and 15 minutes. And then the women's winner was Anna Mazur out of Charlottesville, 29 years old. Hour 22 minutes, just outstanding, and I'll never get to that, but I do admire the fact that people can really go out there and crush that course. So what we did afterwards, after a couple hours of chilling out, taking a break, a big group of us met up at the Center of the Universe Brewery, we call it COTU, C-O-T-U, And Dr. Smitty had been there before, but this was a little bit bigger group, and we brought food down there and hung out outside, listened to a band for a while, and sampled some of their beers and just had a real good time. And they don't really have any light beer, so everything is, you know, heavy beer. It's one of these, small craft breweries. And it's really taken off around here. It's become very popular, and it's a great venue down there to hang out. They got a hop garden. It's pretty cool. And hopefully Dr. Smitty had a good time. We'll get to an email from him a little bit later in the show. And just a great weekend all around. I was very happy that I was able to finish the distance. And one way or the other, I was going to finish it. I know my finishing time was pretty slow. But the funny thing about it is that I went back through all my finishing times. And of all the 8 races, 3 of those were exactly... 2 hours, 22 minutes. 3 of the 8 were all 2 hours, 22 minutes and some seconds. Kind of interesting. I'm not sure I did that intentionally. So it was kind of consistent, pretty close. It's been, with the way that the time of year this race is held, it's so humid and hard to train for. And sometimes I just kind of took it for granted this year that I would be able to finish. I was kind of, actually, when it looked like it was going to be close, I was actually hoping to get up to 222, but I ended up going for the 225 and finished and got another finishing medal. They changed the medal this year, and the shirt was a different color, so they made some changes, which was nice. All right, let's check out the email bag section of the show, and you can reach me at ashlanddave@gmail.com if you want to send me an email, comment on the show. If you enjoy it or if you don't like it, you don't have to email me that, but... I do share emails on the show, so if you send me information and you do not want it shared on the show, please indicate that in the email. Otherwise, I will probably comment on the show. So I heard from Down Under Dave, and he did the Big Red, and he's down in Australia. He said it's the hardest thing he had ever done, 250 kilometers across. Some of the toughest terrain imaginable. I'm reading here from his email. Apart from the soft sand, there were very, very rock surfaces, which they call gibber plains, which ran for 5 to 6 kilometers. Severe sand dunes, which if one was 40 meters high, that's called Big Red. And he said he counted 50 million flies. So there were a lot of. He said it was a privilege to run in the Simpson Desert, as it was to share it with 80 like-minded souls. But he found it too hard for this old fella, and he's going to be looking at more achievable goals in the future. But at least he can always say he ran across the Simpson Desert. And he asks, so I asked him how he went, and then he has been it was called the Big Red Run. It was in the Simpson Desert in Australia. It was a multi-day race, 250,000 kilometers, and got a real nice email back from him. This was back in late June, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm just kind of getting out of his email. So Down Under Dave, it's nice to, as always, hear from you, and hope you check in again soon. I know you'll have something big coming up. I still can't believe you ran across. You did 250 kilometers, just incredible. I heard from my good buddy Ryan, who lives up in Canada now, and... Ryan, I will respond to your email. I'm sorry. He actually sent me a link to Bob Becker, where he was being interviewed in Runner's World. Bob Becker, who directs the Keys 100. I met Bob when I was down there, and I did the 50-mile version of the Keys when I ran from Marathon Key to Key West on Route 1. Broke 12 hours and just had an incredible time down in Florida. He becomes the oldest person to ever complete the Badwater Double. And matter of fact, I'm going to try to put this link in the show notes. I've been having trouble with the new Podbean software I'm putting links in. But I'll include that link in there if you want to go to ashlanddave.podbean.com. You'll find it there. Bob Becker was, like I said, was the director of the Keys 100, a complete gentleman, and had a chance to meet him when we were down there. I guess it was, 3 years ago, I think, I did the Keys race, and there might have been more than that. Just a real nice guy. Does a great job with the Keys race, and I can't believe at age 70 he did a Badwater Double. I don't even know what to say. It's incredible. Ryan, I appreciate you sharing that. Glad you still listen to the show, and I'm sorry I didn't get back to you on your email. I did see it right away. So I heard from Steve Bawani, one of my former Ashland friends. He's moved out of the area, but his actually turns out one of his sister-in-law is actually one of the coaches for the running group that I was participating in. So small world, Steve, isn't it? And good to hear from you. And I'm glad to see that you're still running. And okay, I sent an email to myself here. When Dr. Smitty was here in town, he told me about this product that he got called Race Dots, and he was trying it out. I think he might have been trying it out for the first time at the Patrick Henry Half. I'm not sure if he'd done it before. But what Race Dots are is they take the place of the safety pins for your bib, and when you run a race, and some people who don't run with shirts put the bib on their shorts. Other people just put it on the shorts because they might switch shirts out during a race, which I've done before in an ultra. Sometimes people like to fold the race bib real small where just the number shows, so it's very little paper on them. Well, anyway, what these Race Dots do is they take the place of the safety pins, and they're high-powered magnets and very light. And it's a magnet that goes on one side of the shirt, and then the other goes on the underside, and that or the shorts, and that holds. It serves as a safety pin, but it's a small magnet. And you can get a little logo on the magnet. And what Greg did, he got like skull and crossbones, and I went on the web. I thought it was a clever thing, and I was willing to try it out. It was $20. And it's not that I have a problem with safety pins, but I can never get the darn thing. I always worry. I can never get the thing just right on my shirt where the pins don't seem to rub. And so I decided, you know, this is something that can be reused. And so they just arrived the other day, and I got the Captain America logo dots up because I thought they were pretty cool. So I will report on those after I use them for the first time with Dr. Smitty. It was a great idea that you had, Greg. I appreciate that. I checked it out. Heard from a regular listener, Thomas Mueller, the master competitor of the Master Competitor blog. And I've been kind of going back and forth with Thomas about attitude changes, motivational issues. He wrote a book called Mind Over Diet. And he's convinced that if you want to get in these down moods, the first step is a clean diet. And he wrote to me in an email that many times this might be minimal fruits, a lot of raw vegetables, no meat. He acknowledges that it's not fun, doesn't give you the treats that you're used to, but he's convinced that every time he goes to the clean diet, he generates a positive attitude. Acknowledges that it's not a scientific study, but he's convinced there's a correlation between clean food and a clean mind. And I actually agree with that. I wish I could actually do that. I wrote back to him saying I would be pretty hard to do that. I'm sure I could force myself, but it should be a tough period. My wife actually eats pretty healthy, but we don't always eat together. Sometimes we actually eat different things when we're together. And he wrote back that he's getting slower, but he just ran the High Country Half Marathon last week ago, down 11-minute miles. And he says that when you run out of options, the desire changes. I'm just suggesting a radical food shift can help, and no, it's not fun. He says he's drinking a smoothie right now. Beet greens and stems and green apple and a cucumber and plant protein. Yummy. Yeah, right. That's like, Thomas, you're something else, man. I'm not so sure. I wasn't being negative on you. I just know that would be really hard for me, and I really appreciate your input, and I think there's something to be said for that, and I might secretly try it without telling anybody just to see if it works. I'll tell you, though. So I heard from Sandy, and Sandy sent me a bunch of pictures from the Pine Creek Trail, which is a ultra up in Pennsylvania that I had mentioned in a previous show that I was possibly interested in for maybe next year, dabbing with, maybe crewing for Tom if he's serious about doing it. And she sent me some absolutely gorgeous pictures, and Sandy, I really do appreciate that. These are from, I'm looking at them, email here, and for some reason they're from, let's see, yes, the Pine Creek Trail, which is in Pennsylvania. So I got a nice email from her. She's going to be doing the Run Woodstock 100 miler, and she said it's almost time for that. I believe that's in October or maybe late September, if I'm not mistaken. She says she's a balance. She's down. She's been focusing on weight loss and with some cross training, and she's down about 16 pounds. So that's probably something that I would probably really need to think about. She's got 7 weeks on a big fall trip. Great Allegheny Passage Marathon in Maryland into September, followed by the Swamp Rabbit 50K in South Carolina. Monster Mash Marathon in Dover, and the next day the Atlantic City Marathon in New Jersey, and then the last one's going to be Marshall Marathon in West Virginia. That's the one where I think they throw you a football at the finish line. That'll put her at 34 states done. Then they're going to go to a big RV show in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and go to Gettysburg, and they're going to go to Virginia Beach, and then they're going to be staying near Charlottesville in Gordonsville, Virginia, October 23rd, 28th, and that is about an hour from here, Sandy, and I know I'm not on call that week, so I'll be working during the day, and it might be a little tough to ride out that on a weeknight, but let's see where you end up and see if maybe we can do a halfway either way and get a beer together and visit. I hadn't seen you in several years since the Roanoke Blue Ridge Marathon, and I'm not even sure what days of the week, the 23rd through 28th, I'll have to look that up. So congratulations on your purchase of the retirement property, and maybe you'll have an ultra out there if you build a trail. So good to hear from you. Very much do appreciate that. And I appreciate those pictures. Like I said, that was really cool if you take the time to do that. Heard from Dr. Smitty. And yes, he thanked me for the great hospitality the weekend of the Patrick Henry Half Marathon. And he's got two pieces of information. He's actually, he's had some bad plantar fasciitis, and he says he's going to take a month off to get the foot straight. He says it's going to be at least a month, and then he wants to run a lot next year, and he needs to heal up. The next big announcement he had was that he just did something really crazy, and he just signed up for the Umstead 100 miler, which is April 5th, if I'm not mistaken. Let me check that website. April 2nd of 2016, and he got in. That's down at William Umstead State Park in Raleigh, North Carolina. I guess Raleigh's, I think, about three and a half hours from the Ashland area, and less from Chesapeake, where Greg lives. And that race is already closed. It fills up very quickly, so he's lucky that he got in. He probably signed up right away. And let's see, I'm going to look at the participants list here. And he is definitely on it. Greg Smith, male out of Chesapeake. So well done on that, Greg. I wish you all the best with your training. It's not going to be easy, that's for sure, especially once you get through your injury. However, I do wish you the best, and I know that you'll recover. And I've been a good friend over the years, and it's really fun to see you up here this past weekend. Or I guess last weekend. So here's the big announcement. After what I've needed all along here is a big hairy ass goal, which is what you may have heard from people who do other podcasts. I know Dirt Dog used to talk about it. And I just needed to pull the trigger on something, and so I did. And it's the Mississippi Trail 50. And this is going to be next March of next year, specifically March 5th. I'm not sure if that's a Saturday or a Sunday. And the reason this race has significance to me is because I actually considered it as my first 50-miler because, for the most part, my mom's side of family is all from Mississippi, and we spend a lot of time down there. And I have a cousin who I've talked about before, John Pendergrass. He wrote a book called Against All Odds, which was about his experience running Ironmans in most continents. And he's in his, I believe, early 70s now. And he's invited me for the last 2 years to come down and do this and like stay with him or at his house. He lives about 35 miles from where the race is. And I've kind of declined, but this year I've accepted. And because, you know, I'm a believer that, you know, somebody might invite you to something twice, but they're not going to invite you a third time because they just figure, you know, the message is you don't want to do it. Well, I do want to do this race. And it's the reason it attracts me is that it's a 50K or a 50 miler. And it's the way the race is managed that if for some reason you don't make the cutoffs, you can still save a 50K finish if you then switch, I think, to a different loop. And it's in the DeSoto National Forest, which is near Laurel, Mississippi. Clearly something that I'd have to fly to. It's just way too far for me to drive. And it's possible that my good friend Lummix might travel down there with me. Not really sure yet, but it's the course's soft dirt trails, pine needle paths, fire roads on a 12.5-mile loop and a 6.1-mile loop, which you do repeatedly. And the 50-mile runners do the big loop 3 times and then the small loop twice. And you get to go by the start area several times, so you can leave a drop bag with extra socks and shoes and that kind of stuff. And that really attracts me. I was successful doing that at the Croatan Ultra, which I did last November, where I was able to do my 50 miles in less than 12 hours, which I was really pleased with. And this has a 12-hour cutoff for the 50 miles. So a lot of things attract me to it, and I went ahead and pulled the trigger and registered this morning. So I'm in. I purchased the race insurance for $8 just in case something comes up and I'm not able to go. I don't lose my $80 that I just paid to do it. So that's my big announcement. I'm very excited, and my whole day has been very positive. I went out and did a 5-miler this morning. I did 7.5 on Saturday. Today's Labor Day Monday, and did a midweek run last week. So I guess you could say I'm back to base building, and the sad thing is the race is kind of 6 months from today. So I think that's plenty of time for me to get back to where I need to be. And according to one of the training schedules I was looking at in that book, Relentless Forward Progress, I should obviously be up to 25 miles a week now. But I'll approach that gradually, and my training will increase as the weather changes, which is I'm very optimistic for. So I'm very hopeful. Some people listening might think I'm kind of foolish for doing that, but I've been to this before. I've done 28 marathons. I think 12 of them are ultras. I'm not too worried about getting up to the mileage. I get nervous about the travel on a plane to then go run an ultra, because the only time I've ever done that is when I went out and did the Keys Ultra. And flying back on a plane after running even the next day was miserable, being cramped up on a plane after running that far. But I think maybe I'm a little wiser now. So that's my big announcement. That's the major announcement. Mississippi Trail 50. I plan to participate in that on March 5th of 2016. I'm hoping my friend Lummox goes with me. It's possible that Snuggy Bear might end up down there. We kind of briefly talked about it at one of our training runs. And we'll see how it works out. I'm excited, and I guess there's really not much else to say. I'll see how my training progresses and make additional comments as time goes on. So this is Ashland Dave. You can email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. And if you want to send me an email, we can communicate that way. And this is Ashland Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running. Don't forget to hug your kids, and y'all have a good week.